Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show.
Everybody, welcome back to What I Will Say. This is Cam and I'm here with Jeffy.
Hey everyone,
how you doing, Jeffy?
Doing well, just getting through every day as much as the next, right? I mean, how about yourself? How you doing?
Can I tell you about the creepiest thing that's almost ever, not quite, but one of the scariest things that's ever happened in my life happened to me last night?
Oh my gosh, it's not another like crazy dream, right? Or is it?
No, I have lots of crazy dreams. That a dream is the scariest thing that's ever happened to me in life. I'm not going to talk about that one right now though. But last night I went to Kroger, which is grocery store, obviously, you know, to grab a few things because I was like out of everything. So I left my house. I went the right way. I go to turn right onto the street that the Kroger's on. And I look around and I am on a different street. I am lost. I do not know where I am. I drive this way like from my house. It's like 5 minutes from my house. I drive this way all the time. Maybe 10 minutes, but like I drive this way all the time, again and again and again. I look up, I am on a completely, utterly, I don't know where I am. I'm looking around. So I think, oh, I passed it. So I turn around and try, what street am I on? What street am I on? I don't know where I am.
That's
I had
crazy to
map my way. And all I can think is like, I turned left at some point instead of right. And ended up on an entirely different, like, you know how in America, I explained this to Gabby, there's like these American roads, which is a road and it has a Walmart, a Kroger, a Best Buy, a, you know, shopping this, McDonald's, KFC, a couple car dealerships. Like it has some of everything. Like, and it's just like, it's all gross and asphalty. And like, it's just like America, consumerism. All the pavement. Well, there's like two of those near my house.
Amazing.
And one has the Kroger on it and I'm headed to that one and I end up on the other one, which is the exact opposite direction. I do not know how I got there. I was like, was I just transported through space time?
Wormhole.
Like I was almost scared. I must have turned left to go on the other big road, but like, I don't know.
Still freaky. Yeah. Especially when you go so consistently.
Yeah. So that scared me and freaked me out.
Your early onset Alzheimer's or
I take a lot of Benadryl to sleep. Ooh. I try not to anymore. I really try not to take it. And it doesn't even help that much. But sometimes
that
when you're
Benadryl
desperate,
haze. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently taking tons of Benadryl causes like dementia. So
I could believe it. That shit knocks you out. Like,
yeah, this brilliant mind. Yeah. Something about it. It just damages the brain. So
maybe
I used to take a lot of Benadryl. So guys, say goodbye to like this.
Yeah.
If I start ending up on the wrong streets, like I was scared. I was like lost. I was like, what is happening?
What happened?
Yeah. Anyway,
that's spooky. I get you.
Anyway. Yeah. That's what's going on in my life. But, shall we jump into, wait, no, let's not. Let's talk about the latest goss to come out.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, you mentioned something you wanted to chat about.
Entertainment Tonight, they say that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's loved ones see an engagement coming sooner rather than later, says a source.
Oh, no.
They say Taylor and Travis are doing amazing, and their loved ones see an engagement coming sooner than later. They make a great match. There's no question about that. So that is what they said. Now, this is not, let's maintain some perspective.
Yeah.
This is not them saying they are engaged.
No, just rumors. And I mean, they did just do that Italy trip. So like, I could see this being like extra PR push or bump.
Right. Taylor is trying to take Billy off the charts.
Yeah, right. Oh my God.
Why? Billy has said some kind of shady stuff about Taylor, but Taylor might be deserving of it. I'm not picking sides. I'm really excited about Billy's new album. I actually haven't listened to it yet, but
I need to listen to it as well. I've heard way too much good stuff. The Grammys next year are going to be crazy.
I think we will cover it on the Patreon. People voted. We had a vote. We're going to do more Gaylor stuff. I think Gabby's going to come on and do some Gaylor song analysis with me.
That'll be fun.
People voted for that, but we still will cover Billie's album if you want me to. But
I'd
yeah,
love
so I
to.
wonder if this is just a press push.
Yeah, she's been doing a lot, especially with obviously the voice memos, which feels obviously more capitalist cash grab, but she really, I don't know. Yeah, she's been doing a lot.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is just like pushing the press, trying to get more streams and outstream Billie because she released those digital situations, or is this something genuine? Now, here's the thing that's interesting. Entertainment Tonight is one of the two, sometimes three, because sometimes the Sun knows what they're fucking talking about. I don't know what fucking connection they had, what kind of maid or like butler they had on the inn or something, but sometimes the Sun has good tea, but People in Entertainment Tonight is usually a tree approved statement. Now, does that mean it's true? No, right? We just said it could be to promote the album, the new like digital remixes or whatever she's doing to get
Yeah.
Billie off the charts. But do we think Taylor and Travis might get engaged kind of soon? And the thing is, I don't think it's going to happen in a matter of weeks, but give it 6 months, give it 12 months.
I could see it happening this
I
year,
kind of think
definitely.
they will.
Oh my God.
I know. I mean, maybe I just hope they do because I think it'd be fun content.
Would be great content.
I don't know. I kind of, if Travis is a healthy partner to her, why not lock it down? We're all
Right? I
that
feel like,
age, you know? I want to
yeah,
get married.
exactly. I feel like once you're at that age, you can definitely know, especially after all the things she's gone through. I feel like I hope she knows what she doesn't want in a partner. And so I feel like it's pretty easy to just figure out, especially in the time they've been dating. Yeah, they're probably, good for each other.
Yeah. So, you know, who's to say? I do not think this is like, oh, they are engaged or they are getting engaged soon. I do think this is just like a way, 'cause they didn't say they're getting engaged. They said their loved ones
No,
think they will. And like that
exactly.
might be true, but it also just might be a way to like generate some press, and it also just might be a way to say like, oh, they're like happy together right now, which I
Exactly.
think they are. They just went to Lake Como, but now a lot of people are saying like Lake Como is very beautiful. Maybe that'd be a good place to get engaged.
I see. I see.
So,
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I would love it because I personally predicted for 2024 for them to either break up or get engaged. So either way, I want that, not just more. Will they, won't they? But yeah, you're right. If it's just like loved ones thinking, that could just be anything. We don't know for sure what would happen.
yeah. So I would like to see, you know, I'm interested,
Same.
and I do think if they are together for the next 1 to 2 years, 2 years is like as long as I'm giving it from here. Frankly,
Yeah.
maybe even just one. I do think Taylor just know, like, I think, especially for celebs, like maybe Taylor doesn't approach it this way, but I feel like I heard on a gossip podcast, and I don't know who said it. I think maybe the CNBC girls, the Celebrity Memoir Book Club girls,
Oh, they're
they
great.
said celebs get engaged and married just when they want to have a monogamous commitment.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard that too.
Because it's just like, yeah, what's a wedding but a party? And we're throwing
Yeah.
million-dollar parties all the time. So like, why not do it, you know?
Right. I see that. Yeah.
Now I don't know that Taylor 100% views it that way, but celebs get married so fast, especially, you know, certain celebs certainly get married like that, like really fast. And I just think, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe Taylor will kind of see Travis as like, if a wedding is something she wants to do, if a marriage is something she wants to achieve in her lifetime, and if kids is something she wants in her lifetime, maybe even if Travis isn't like the perfect guy for her, she I could just see her going for it. I could just see her going for it and being like, yeah, this might not last, but I am
Yeah.
ready.
Yeah, I
So I
could see
don't
it
know.
too.
I
Yeah.
don't know. Anyway, I'd love to hear what you guys think. I don't
Yeah.
think this article is that big of a deal, though. I think the article
No.
is either entirely press to get streams up, or it's like the article is like, yeah, like their family thinks they're happy together. And like that's
Exactly.
probably just true. So not a huge
Truly.
deal either way. But so what are you saying? They're engaged or broken up within the next 6 months, next 8 months?
I would like, yeah, next 8 months, end of 2024, just 'cause I mean, she was in a relationship for over 6 years with Joe. I would hope in that time frame. And then plus the closing of the decade long spiel with Maddie, I would hope maybe she's like, okay, yeah, I know what I want, I know what I don't want. And yeah, maybe just like, I feel like it's pretty quick to understand, like, to be with someone and try out a few things and figure out,
Mm-hmm.
if they, other than like maybe living together for a while, which I would understand, but when you're a celebrity, I could just see you rushing right into it and doing it.
I mean, they've almost been together for a year. Like, I don't even think that's super unreal. I think if you're in your 30s, mid 30s, like they are,
Yeah.
I think that's like, you know
That's
what you
pretty normal
want.
time span, yeah.
You've spent as much time together as you can. Like, I feel like a year, maybe 2 years, if you're in your 30s and know what you want, that's a pretty reasonable
Yeah,
time
I don't think they're
span.
even I said rushing into it. Honestly, don't even think they're rushing into it.
Right.
Like,
Like
yeah.
rushing into it. Dumois said Taylor expected to be proposed to on her birthday last year. I do not believe that. But
Yeah.
Dumois, I don't know. Like she did have a Travis source, but she was so wrong about that Joe secret wedding thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're gonna get engaged in the next year. Let's say it. Let's say I'm gonna give it
Yeah.
a year. Like maybe by their second anniversary, I think they're engaged if they're still together.
Yeah, I could
Meaning
see
they're
that.
like at least right enough for each other to spend 2 years together.
Yeah, if it goes on longer than that, then I'll be a little suspicious, but yeah.
I'm gonna start calling him Joe if he doesn't propose to
Right?
her that fast. But apparently Travis does talk about like kids a lot on his podcast, like little jokes here or there, nothing
Yeah.
crazy, but he really loves his nieces and I don't
Yeah,
know.
that's
That's
something
what
to
people are
definitely
saying.
consider things.
Yeah. So we
Yeah.
will just have to see. But other than all that, I mean, I think we did conclude last episode that Taylor needs a woman. So, like, even if she does get married to Travis, like, come on, you know? I think
100%, yeah.
I see her having lasting happiness with a woman. Maybe I'm projecting because I see myself having lasting happiness with a woman. But speaking of
Yeah.
what Taylor wants or doesn't want, when we last left off, we had came up for a breath of air from our bucket. We were in the Joe bucket, I think, before So High School. There's the Maddie bucket that she drowns herself in, the Travis bucket that she drowns herself in some kind of fucked up game of bobbing for apples, but it's like bobbing for misery. And we came up for a breath of air with So High School, but guess what? Now we're going into a new bucket called like Taylor's Mental Issues. And I am going to call the next section of the album that we're covering. We're doing I Hate It Here to Cassandra. I'm calling this Taylor's Lament. Because it is she dives into more issues that are more complicated than just like, oh, relationships are hard. Some of it kind of touches on it,
Yeah.
but these next five songs are doozies and they're sad and there's a lot to say about them. So let's start off with I Hate It Here. Jeffy, how do you feel? What do you think? What are your vibes on I Hate It Here?
Vibes on I Hate It Here. I love the bridge and the guitar, like the plucking, I guess, or whatever that sound in the background of it. I really like the flow of the song. I do think it the perspective with some of the nostalgia-less perspective that Taylor has is very telling on how she would view herself in those time periods, I guess. I guess a lot of it I was bold with, but and don't think I fully understand it. So I'm excited to like hear your perspective and maybe learn a little bit about it. But overall, I mean, general vibes with like I hate it here. I can relate in that sense. But yeah, not too much about like understanding everything about it. It's a doozy for me.
Yeah, so I don't think this has like a relationship romantic muse at all, which is kind of a relief given some of this album, at least in our sort of worldview that might be unevolved. We've owned
Yeah.
that looking for
Yep.
the celeb muse behind each song is certainly not everybody's favorite way to go through Taylor's music, but we like to do that here.
We love
But this doesn't have that.
it.
This is more, I think Taylor, this is a I think this is like really to make it really simple. I think this is a song about depression and about the lengths one will go to manage being unhappy in your own mind. And I think when she says, I hate it here, she's talking about just the slog, the day in and day out slog. And I also see I don't think this is what she meant, but I can see people with like chronic pain or chronic illness heavily relating to this because like there's no way you can escape it except with, I mean, at large, obviously, hopefully there's treatments, pain medication, all that sort of thing, therapy, but like right off the bat, without assistance, the only thing you can do is sort of this toxic daydreaming. this maladaptive daydreaming where you go to a different place in your mind, and that's the only way you can sort of escape this sad reality. And I think if we want to be specific, I think she explored these issues in Anti-Hero as well, where she doesn't really feel like enough of a person. And I think when Taylor gets depressed, it's probably hard for her to even grapple with that, because I think I can see her feeling guilty for being depressed. I don't think she always 100% knows how to get help, and I think this is something she does. I think she daydreams and goes to these nostalgic places. And in this song, she sort of explores how that is not even a helpful option at the, in the long run. And she, in verse two, is when she gets into that. And of course, this is the controversial verse, right? Some people are very offended by this verse. I can kind of see what they're saying, but other people say, no, you're kind of taking it the wrong way. I don't have the strongest feelings in the world. But of course, let's talk about verse two, because it's kind of the hot button issue of the song. My friends used to play a game where we would pick a decade we wish we could live in instead of this. I'd say the 1830s. Now, apparently there's a bunch of amazing poets in the 1830s, so people think that's why she chose that. But without all the racists and getting married off for the highest bid. Now, if you sort of take it there, and like you think Taylor has put out, like, just mentioned like the downsides of the 1830s. Like, I've seen some people say the 1830s, it wasn't just about like racism and women not having tons of rights. It was, there were so many, like, slavery was still an institution then, like a crime against humanity, right? Like, there's so many more things.
It wasn't as light as she made it seem, kind of, right?
Right. I guess they think she sort of cheapened that. I mean, in a lot of ways, slavery was like a genocide, right? You know what I mean? So she maybe cheapened some of that experience just to say, oh, they're racist people. And I kind of hear what they're saying for sure. But I also think, well, it is a song and not, it's not like a dissertation. It's not like a term paper on what the 1930s was like. So if she's just trying to get it, you know, say like racism was an issue then, well, that is just true. And misogyny as well, getting married off for the highest bid. And then but it goes beyond that. It's not like that's the only line in the verse. Everyone would look down because it wasn't fun now. It seems like it was never even fun back then. Nostalgia is a mind's trick. If I'd been there, I'd hate it. It was freezing in the palace. Now, I think this is where, like, we can kind of explore on this album. Like, maybe Taylor needs an editor. Maybe this concept of like, oh, it would be so great to be alive when Emily Dickinson was. Oh, wait, no, it wouldn't. Like, it was bad back then. Like, I think there is a way you can sort of explore that without saying like, well, racism was bad back then, but it's sort of sweeping under the rug a bunch of other things. Like, I do think there's a more sensitive and a more clever way to say it.
If her point was trying to say like nostalgia is a mind's trick, I feel like there's definitely a better way she could have gone around it. Like if that's the counterpoint for a lot of it, or people trying to say like she's looking at nostalgia and how it's not always as it seems, there's so many different ways you could go about that and just not even touch about like potentially big political so social issues and terrible things that happened.
And I think that the point of the verse is that phrase, nostalgia is a mind's trick. And I think it's true. It's funny. I have a playlist on my Spotify called Nostalgia as a Weapon, because it's like all these old songs that get me in my feels and stuff, but it's also just like, you know, it's not the most productive thing to do all the time.
Definitely.
And I do think this idea about the grass is always greener on the other side, and like, oh, you think it's so bad back then, but like, or sorry, I guess you should say, oh, you think it's bad now. Imagine how bad it was back then. Like, there's nowhere you can escape to, even in these fantasies. You're sort of clowning on yourself. And I think that's like the secret garden she goes to. Maybe it offers temporary relief, but nostalgia is a trick. Like, it's a trick, you know.
No, I totally get what you mean.
There's definitely some queer vibes of this song, particularly in the chorus. I hate it here, so I will go to lunar valleys in my mind. When they found a better planet, only the gentle survived. I dreamed about it in the dark, the night I felt like I might die. Oh my God, that almost made me cry. What the hell? This is like hitting just looking at this now. Holy shit. The idea of having to go to a different planet with only gentle people, I get it. I hear it. It's like the how we talked about Down Bad on the podcast, and we'll talk more about this We talked about Down Bad on the Patreon for the Gaylor analysis of all these songs. We'll talk more about this on that, but like, yeah, I get it. Like this idea about why does she hate it here? Why is she so upset? Like, definitely.
Luna Valley, Secret Gardens, definitely. Yeah, lots of queer vibes and escaping. And yeah, I agree.
I think Taylor probably read the Secret Garden book when she was growing up, don't you think?
Probably,
It
yeah.
was one of my favorites growing up, and I feel like some of the vibes on Seven are the same as Secret
Yeah.
Garden. There's some Secret Garden imagery there too, but
Definitely.
the bridge, she lets us know where she's at. I'm lonely, but I'm good. I'm bitter, but I swear I'm fine. And this is something Taylor is sort of always comes back to. I think one thing, I think here's what I was trying to say earlier about like she feels bad for being depressed. I think Taylor struggles to revel enough in her depression that she can move through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she's always like, no, I am good. And like, I do sometimes you need to just like fucking face it and be like, I have this issue and it's a severe, horrible issue and I'm not good.
Yeah, you need to ask for help at some point. Exactly.
Hit rock bottom and ask for help. And like, I feel like because she's always like, no, I am good, like she stops herself. She sort of stops herself from doing that. She says, I'll save all my romanticism for my interlife and I'll get lost on purpose. This place made me feel worthless. Lucid dreams like electricity, the current flies through me. And in my fantasies, I rise above it. And way up there, I actually love it. But then we come back to the chorus again. The outro is the exact same as the intro. Quick, quick, tell me something awful, like you are a poet trapped inside a finance guy. And we're going to see this on another song in the Taylor's Lament section of the album, where this is a toxic cycle for her. And I think that's what this is, you know. And it's not the deepest like take, but I think she's just like unhappy a lot of the time, and I think she struggles to deal with it. And instead of actually dealing with it, she just like goes to the secret garden inside her mind.
Yeah, and I think you're very right with the fact that like it ends with the beginning of the song, and so it feels like it is meant to be repetitive and stuck in the cycle and keep going back to those secret places and hating it, hating the places that you're in. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Might be worth noting it's on her denial playlist, which I agree. That's
Ooh.
like what the song's all about. So
Yeah.
a beautiful song, sad song, good song,
Yes.
but I like it. Let's talk about Thank You, Amy.
Woohoo.
Now, here's the thing. Everybody thinks this song is not about Kim Kardashian, and it's kind of driving me nuts. Jeffy, what do you think this song's about?
Okay, so I feel like I have the two takes I like the most are obviously Kim Kardashian as the very obvious face value with the letters. I do understand the tongue-in-cheek argument with the lines in the song that we'll probably talk about. But the other take I like is it being like Taylor talk, like the small like anti-hero take where it's like big giant Taylor versus like little Taylor.
Okay, so there's two Taylors. We're back to her like fighting with herself, maybe.
Yeah, it's a take I saw online somewhere. It's definitely not my own. I did not come up with it. I've seen other people talk about it. And so I like that. Like, I don't know. I like that perspective other than just like the obvious, like, blank Kim. Cause like, I feel like that's just a very easy, yeah, that's at face value. Slap all that right in there. But if I had to take like the non-Kim take, that would be my probably favorite non-Kim take.
I think my favorite non-Kim take would be it is about like a high school bully of hers. And the I
That too,
changed your
actually.
name is putting Kim's name in the liner notes.
That is a really good one too, actually. Yeah.
Because then it would be true. And I feel like this must have been Photoshop, but somebody tell me if it wasn't. But Taylor like standing in front of a wall that all her classmates had signed and the name Amy spelled like that was there.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen those pictures too. Yeah.
I actually have a source
If that
that
is
knows
true, let
some
us
people who
know.
went to Hendersonville High with Taylor, and I need to reach out and ask, like, was there an Amy in that class, and is she freaking
Right?
out? Surely that was photoshopped, but if not, then I think that I changed your name might be the Kim, and this
Yeah.
might be one of her high school bullies, because Taylor apparently, like, a lot of people at Taylor's high school did think she was a huge fucking loser.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh my God, it's definitely cringe from just thinking about her being a sophomore in high school, right before she obviously got famous, which is huge, exciting. A good, I gotcha, told you so moment. But yeah, no, it'd be cringe as hell being her classmate.
You know, she invited her entire high school class to see her win the CMT award, and they were all like, what the fuck? Like, is she gonna
Yeah.
kill us? Like, what? Like, because everybody's like, oh, this is sort of her revenge in a way.
Yeah.
If it's not Kim, I do not think it is Karlie Kloss. Maybe we'll talk about that on the Gaylor iteration of this,
Yeah.
but I just don't think it's Karlie. And it's not because she's not mad at Karlie. It's just because the Amy or the Kim, whoever it is, doesn't do things that Karlie did. And Karlie doesn't do the things that Kim or
Yeah.
Amy, whoever did.
Well, even then, you can only really like chalk it up to Master's Heist vibes. And even then, I feel like she'd rather write a song directed at Scooter for that than Carly. Like, Carly's been given her Master's Heist songs. Like, we
Yeah,
have
she told us what
closure.
she did. When the words of a sister come back in whispers, you find
Exactly.
she was not what she seemed, not a twin from a dream. She's a crook who was caught, but she's not a
Exactly.
bully throwing punches, like thinks my
No.
songs are lame. Like Carly was always the biggest Taylor fan. Like
Exactly.
she was, singing along at her songs and stuff. Like on 1989 tour, not Reputation tour, she didn't know the lyrics except to the 1989 songs, but nobody asked me about that. But I think like Carly did not throw punches or bully. She like snuck
No,
around like a little snake,
exactly.
So I get confused when people think it's about Carly. I could definitely see it being about like a childhood bully or someone else from the past that Taylor's kind of had run-in with. And
Yeah.
so she put Kim in the, just as a fun red herring. I also think she's still, in fact, we know she's still pissed at Kim. I mean, I've shared about this on the Patreon, but
Literally, yeah.
she's still mad about it, and she'll still talk about it in social settings about how she hates Kim and like low key. Allegedly, I have heard people have told me that she will say like, "Oh, I'm, here's how I want Kim to die," basically.
Yeah.
But I do just genuinely think the bronze spray tan statue. I mean, that's
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian. Like, I do think that she very much is still mad at Kim. I mean, we've heard that from
Yeah.
T, but also just like Kim keeps kind of bringing up Taylor. Like, apparently she reposted something not that long ago that was making fun of Taylor's dancing. North, of course, is like a fan of Taylor, so they're like dancing to
Yeah.
Taylor's music. I think it's like just a shot across the bow, to say, back the fuck off. We're not cool, and I'm still mad at you.
Definitely, yeah. And like in my favorite part of the song, like sonically, is the your word, like, I push the boulders up the hill, your words are ringing in my head, ringing in my head. Like, that to me is giving Snake Gate. It's giving, call me a bitch. Like, I can't imagine like that. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to give a high school bully like the entire Taylor discography because their words were ringing in her head the whole time.
It's hard to
That's
imagine
crazy.
Andrea Swift being like, I wish little Amy, 14-year-old little
Yes.
Amy, were dead. I can see her saying about
Literally.
Kim K because allegedly, a rumor I have heard, I'm not saying this is a fact, but a rumor I've heard is that Taylor says similar stuff about Kim. Now, let's talk about, like, let's get into the specifics for a second because we don't need to go
Yeah.
on and on. Like, I do feel like we know the song's about Kim, or maybe it's about a bully. Like, I don't think it's that deep, but it wasn't a fair fight. I brought a knife to a gunfight. Right? And when did Taylor bring a knife to a gunfight? Well, that's from Call It What You Want, which is a song about falling in love with somebody while all the liars are calling me one. This is about the relationship, whoever you want to say it is, Joe, Lily, whoever. This is about the post-Snakegate relationship that inspired most of Reputation. It wasn't a fair fight. I brought a knife to a gunfight. So when I hear like, oh, it wasn't a fair fight, obviously, bringing a knife to a gunfight is an unfair fight. I'm like, no, this is just about fucking Snakegate, in
Yeah.
my opinion,
No, I totally get what you mean as well. And like, just even after that, like, clean kill each time that Amy stomped across my grave. Like, yeah, Kim definitely, she even like tweeted out the whole, oh, it's National Snake Day at the same day. Like, that's like, I feel like that's very stomping on grave vibes. Yeah.
Oh, Kim and Kanye were doing victory laps forever and then doing the revenge porn music video. I understand that people always want to like look for a second meaning with Taylor, like a deeper, a red herring and all of that. Like, and I know on her website there were things that were like the website malfunctioned and it was like 3, 2, 1. It had this thing that rearranged to say red herring. I can't even get into that. Like, I'll leave that to the TikTok Swifties and everything. But and when she says like, oh, I changed your name in any, nobody's gonna know this song's about you, everybody thinks like that's very literal, so it can't be about Kim because she made it so everybody knows that it's about Kim. And like I kind of hear that because sometimes Taylor does sort of overcomplicate things, but sometimes she just doesn't. Sometimes it is very face value. And like, what was the clues that, you know, she was gonna have two albums? Well, she was holding up two. It was pretty like straightforward, you know what I mean? And I feel like this is more straightforward. I think she put Kim's name in the liner note of the title. I guess it's not even the liner note, but she put Kim's name in the title because it's about Kim.
And I think you can chuck up the whole change your name in any clear defining clues. Like, you can double flip it on its side and say that's the point of the song. Like, she put all these obvious clues out there to make that line funnier.
It's a joke,
Like,
right? I changed your name to Amy. It's fine, but then she put it in the title. To me, that's the joke. It's like, yeah, she did change her name to Amy, so it should sort of protect her. And she said it in high school, so that's like, you know, she didn't talk about, you know, snakes or anything. It's a little more vague. I think that's kind of the joke, is that she says she changed her name and stuff, but then she went and shoved her name in the title of the song, hidden in the capital letters, old school sneaky Taylor style, like she used to do. So I just think, yeah, I think the song's about Kim. I do. But maybe there's like some other kind of bully. I will say, like, whoever it's about, it's not about Karlie Kloss. Because it just thematically doesn't fit with any of the Karlie stuff, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So let's talk about I Look in People's Windows. Jeffy, this is a beautiful song to me. It's one of my favorites on the album. How do you feel about this song?
I agree. It's definitely grown on me a lot. It's one of the more, like, I love again, the same kind of plucking sound that's in it, and the dancing around, the visual storytelling she says, like. Yeah, I love listening to it as well. It's one of the ones I like to listen to when I'm just trying to chill and relax. And I also do love the parallels that, of course, people have been mashing up with I Look Through People's Windows and I Look Through the Windows of This Love with Death by a Thousand Cuts. And so, yeah, it's a heartbreaker. I do love this song.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking. I think this is actually a partner song too, and this is where we start the album sort of coming together again. By the way, not that anybody asked, but I could have done without Thank You, Amy. To me, she could have left that out. I'm just saying, I could have done without
Yeah,
it.
I personally love it, but I get what you mean. It's nothing too
Yeah.
crazy.
It's not a bad song, but no Taylor song is like bad, bad, but it's just like
Literally.
a you know, very long album I could have done without Thank You, Amy. So I think I Look in People's Windows is like a partner song. She's playing on like the I Hate It Here vibe again. She does sit around and daydream. And to me, the windows are Instagram posts. I look through in people's windows because like Taylor doesn't literally go around in the street. I mean, maybe once in a while. Maybe once in a while, but she doesn't take a lot of public walks, I don't think. I think she's talking about scrolling social media and looking at people's pictures and trying to see if like a certain someone is in those pictures. Now, who is that someone? I will say, if there had to be one Gaylor song on the album, this is the Gayloriest for me.
Definitely, when you give that Instagram perspective, I didn't actually think about that. But now that you say that, like, oh yeah, this gives. I always felt this felt a little more little gay, but then like that added implication. Yeah, I can see why.
So let's get into lyrics. We haven't touched on the lyrics as much. Let's get into these lyrics. I had died the tiniest death. I spied the catch in your breath. Out, 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 out. Northbound, I got carried away as you boarded your train. South, 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 south. And I was trying to sit there and think, what does she mean by that? What is northbound? Taylor's headed north and someone's headed south. What does that mean? And do you know what one like thought came to me? And this is, I am going to go ahead and own, I'm going to take a Swiftground perspective on this song on the main pod. Here's what, listen. Well, first, let me say, I do believe this song does not seem to be about any of the main male muses of this album, being Maddie, Joe, or Travis. I don't see this song like linking up to them. So then I'm kind of like, okay, well, once we, you know, clear that, because we're working under the operation that she was in a very real relationship with Joe. She had a very real thing with Maddie, and now she's in a real relationship with Travis. So there's not a lot of like Gaylor to go looking for as much, because it's like, yeah, like Guilty as Sin sounds very gay, and we'll give it her time of day on the Patreon pod. That actually episode should be up now as I'm even saying this. But at the same time, okay, but we know she was kind of cheated on Joe with Maddie. And so all those clues kind of line up, you know, to so it's like, well, let me tell you what I hear in this first verse. I want to get your opinion on it.
Lay it on.
I see Taylor and this person. I had died the tiniest death. I spied the catch in your breath. Like they're together. And maybe they're even having sex because I died the small death is like sex, but an orgasm. But they catch their breath and Taylor's like, oh my God, like what's this all about? But they're together. And then so they're in the same place. And then Taylor goes northbound. She gets carried away. And this person takes a train south. And I'm trying to say, what does that mean? Like, is it literal? Were they, you know, is this her and Joe in England and Joe takes a train to Brighton and Taylor's headed to Scotland? Like, no, it's probably not literal. Like, calm down, not everything's so literal, right? So, like, I'm like, what if it's careers? What if it's like Taylor's northbound, like headed into the stratosphere, right? M one of the most famous women in the world now. And she met someone when their careers were at kind of the same place. And Taylor kind of took off into fame, and this person sort of ended up around that time or right after withdrawing a little from fame. Would that make sense at all? Is
Yeah, I
that
could see that.
stupid?
That's not a, that's I definitely don't think it's a stupid take. I like that idea because you're right. Like, if we want to take it really literally, we're gonna the actual travel metaphors. Like, I could totally see, like, yeah, like her career skyrocketed, and if we're going with Swift Gron, like Diana's did kind of fizzle out around that time.
Yeah, so I kind of see it as like, what does Taylor mean northbound? I got carried away. And I do think Taylor got carried away with her own career. Like
Definitely,
I'm trying
yeah.
to think, like, what does that literally mean? Like, it's not, I don't think it's a real train or like she's not in a rocket ship or something. She's not actually going up to the North Pole. You know, I don't think it's like on a map literal, which maybe like everybody's like, yeah, duh, it's not. Shut the fuck up. Say the next thing. You know what I mean? But like, no, I don't think it's that literal. So then it's like, okay, northbound. And then I could think like, well, what if it's like, I could see someone maybe if they quote unquote like found God and got really religious, but I'm like, well, I don't think Taylor did that. But I could see someone being like sort of northbound, like I'm kind of in a higher place. And I'm just trying to think like, where, how has Taylor been carried away northbound? And in one way, I can see it is like, no, that's her fame. That's her level of fame and her career. And I think if they're in the same place, when Taylor and Diana met, they were like both about the same amount of famous. Taylor was like, you know, up and coming Speak Now tour is what's going on. So, like, she's definitely already won album of the year. She's definitely famous, definitely popular, but she is not like the most famous pop act in America. I mean, she's not even fully pop yet. And at the same time, Diana is on Glee, which was like the biggest show. But like, she is, it is just, you know, they're not huge, huge, but they're both like at a similar place. And then Diana ends up withdrawing from public life. And Taylor, of course, becomes the Taylor Swift. So I kind of like that if I'm gonna get on crack and do my Swiftgron analysis.
Yeah, I did have a terrible thought though, that like northbound is Taylor going to like London and southbound is like Carly going to Florida or something gross like that.
I guess London is technically like north of New York
Right?
City to an extent, although what surely she would say east.
I would think probably, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, is this like a Carly vibe? No, I could see Carly getting, you know, embedding herself within the Trump family and the Kushners and all of that. Taylor sort of viewing that as like going south, like going to hell, kind of like these
Yeah.
evil billionaire people. Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know.
There's gay angle. That's the win for this song. There's a
That's
gay
the thing,
angle.
is that this song is like not so obviously about her London boy or her somber-eyed cowboy, you know what I mean? Like, or the football player. It's just so much l less obvious that I think we're open to like talking about it. But
I agree.
the pre-chorus is a feather taken by the wind blowing. I'm afflicted by the not knowing. I look in people's windows, transfixed by rose golden glows. They have their friends over to drink nice wine. I look in people's windows in case you're at their table. What if your eyes looked up and met mine one more time? I do think this is just like Taylor on her Finsta, like scrolling at different rich people's, you know, and it's like, does she come across Molly Howard's Instagram and spy, you know, a little Diana action? I don't know. But, or does she show up, you know, on some fucking Kushner situation and sees Carly? Like, it really kind of could be anyone, but there is a line that's more specific.
I do think it's interesting that she once again mentions dinner tables and tables, like we talked about in the album before, which I know this one is not really directly like Joe or Maddie, but I just like more, you know, multiple imagery that she uses just to, for relationships or, yeah, interactions, maybe even.
Yeah, you had stopped and tilted your head. I still ponder what it meant. Now, you guys know about my like everything has changed analysis. And for some reason, you know, this idea about like Taylor sort of realizing something, what has changed, and like how that song lines up so well to Diana. Like, I just see Diana tilting her head. I do. I still
Yeah.
ponder what it meant. This is interesting. And this makes me think, could this be about someone she never even had anything with? And then it's like, okay, well, is it Maddie? Like, is this, when was this written? I'd love to know when this was written. You had stopped and tilted your head. I still ponder what it meant. She doesn't know what this person is like feeling. Like, were we gonna be something? And okay, let's keep going. Now. I tried searching faces on streets. What are the chances you'd be downtown? Does it feel all right to not know me? I'm addicted to the if only. That line is the Diana line because Diana was asked in an interview last spring in 2023
I was going to ask
about,
about this.
did you date Taylor Swift? And she kind of like was like, that's crazy that people say that. She did not say no. She's like, oh my God. But what's interesting is Diana had previously been asked if, like, 5, 10 years ago, if songs on the Red album were about her. And she said, oh, if only. But when people ran like Twitter press for this article that came out last year, they said Diana Agron asked about Taylor Swift and she says, if only. They like blended the quote from the old interview into the new interview. And then people on Twitter reported it as if she said that when she was asked about Taylor. Now she didn't. I just want to make clear she didn't, but the way Twitter reported it, and by the way, we know Taylor has a Twitter account that she trolls and like keeps out on and looks what people are saying. Or at least I've heard that. Maybe we don't know that, but I've definitely heard that, and I believe it to be true from a vetted source. If Taylor saw that, she would have seen Diana Agron asked if she dated Taylor Swift. Diana says, oh, if only.
Literally,
And
yeah.
I'm addicted to the if only. If only is in quotes.
No, yeah.
It's something someone said. It's not just, oh, the vibe of, oh, if only I'm addicted to the if only we had been together, if only this. It's a quote. It is something somebody said.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, not that, like, you know, the further and further I get away from 2020 and like the better my mental health gets, the more I'm like,
And
did SwiftCon really happen? I don't know. Like,
you
maybe,
get
like,
swept back in.
it's a fun theory. But then I see that shit and I'm like, oh, shit.
Right.
I'm like, oh shit, that seems kind of specific.
Yeah, definitely. So just to get myself clear here, so she was asked about Red songs and she said if only, or she never said if only.
In like 2012, Red came
Yeah.
out and they said, oh, Diana, we heard you got a shout out in the liner notes of Red. Like, what's it like to be the inspiration of some of Taylor's songs? And she said, oh, me? Oh, if only.
Okay, that's it. Okay. And then but then when Twitter reported later, they blended them.
Right, which is
Yeah.
stupid because she was in the liner notes of one of the songs. She was the
Yeah.
inspiration of one of the
Literally,
songs.
I know.
But she took it as them asking if like they were like together. And I think because she knew the liner note and everything has changed was directed at her. And it's, so she was
Yeah.
like, oh, that's more because of a friendship, because of anything else. And that's what they, but they were talking about 22 anyway. But then the article that like asked her if like last year, they said, you know, Diana's been asked before about like having songs about her. And she says, oh, if only. So then when Twitter reported on the current article, they included that bit that had been included in the current article, but was from a previous interview. But long story short, on Twitter, it basically said, Diana asked about, did you date Taylor Swift? Diana Agron. Oh, if only. If only.
So regardless, like depending on when this song was written, if it was written after that article came out and Twitter was doing all that stuff, Taylor definitely would have been reminded of the if only and maybe just addicted to looking into it. And yeah, oh my God, this is I love that. This is a great SwiftCron gay analysis take. I love it.
So here's how I, one of the tweets I found, this wasn't the only one, but here's, now my news said Diana Agron finally addresses decade-long romance rumors with Taylor Swift, colon, me? Oh, if only.
Oh my
Now
God.
that is not exactly how the interview went, but they pieced it together.
Yeah. And I wonder also, like, you had stopped and tilted your head, kind of like,
Kind of a
I don't
gay
know,
thing to do.
it gay thing to do, but it also gives like interviewer asks you question, you pause for a sec, and then
Oh,
like a who me or like the oh that's interesting, like her response that she.
but you know what's funny is I think Taylor was there when Diana was asked back in 2012 about being the muse of some Red songs.
There we go.
Because I think it happened at that Kennedy dinner. And so I think like
Maybe she got to see what
she
her
maybe
reaction
saw her
was.
tilt her head and Taylor pondered what it meant.
Ooh.
Like, what if they never 100% hooked up or anything, but they were fully in love? Like, what if it's a Taylor's
Yeah.
situation, right? Like, I've shared more about this on the Patreon, but like, Taylor's didn't happen according to insiders, but there's like an energy that they were like closer than normal friends, and that's sort of recognized later on, but not during. And then, so like, what if that happened with Sifron? And like, what if this is about like, I don't know, but the if only Diana actually was quoted as saying, "Me, oh, if only," and Taylor says, "I'm addicted to the quote,
If
if
only.
only."
Ah, I love it.
It's pretty good shit. Like, it's pretty good shit. And then she says, "So I look in people's windows like I'm some deranged weirdo. I attend Christmas parties from outside. I look in people's windows in case you're at their table. What if your eyes looked up and met mine one more time?" And I just, there is something about this song. I wish we would get like,
I would love the voice memo for this one, Taylor. Come on.
I wish we would get the voice memo for this one,
Or like
basically, is
Aaron
what I'm
Dessner
saying.
tweeting out the text of when she sent the song to him at like the time and day.
Yeah, for sure.
Next.
I'm going Swiftron for this. I am
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, same.
and it's like, all right, fine, fine, fine. If you want to make me go into a court of law or something, I would say this is about like a lost connection from a long time ago.
Yeah.
So whoever you think that could be that she could still be writing songs about, but like not to be insane, but the if only in quotes really gives me Diana.
I totally, yeah, no, you've convinced me, and like I just love it because it's obviously like the gayest song I feel like on the album, and you could take so many gay angles, and yeah, I think that's some pretty good Swiftcrowd evidence that I like a lot more than yeah.
Yeah. And I will say it's funny, like so many songs on this album are insanely gay, but they're just so obviously written about men that I know
Yes.
she dated. Like, I've been getting like heat on TikTok. Like, some girl was bullying me and telling me I turned into a wine mom because I think a lot of these songs are about Maddie. And it's just like, but like, I know she dated Joe for a fact. Like, I know that. Like,
Yeah.
from insiders, like, I know that. Like, I know that. Insiders have told me, like, yeah, she's bi, she likes men. She's even kind of boy crazy sometimes. Like, I know that, so it's really hard. I can't just ignore all that and be like, yeah, these clues all line up perfectly to Maddie Healy and Joe Alwyn, but whatever. Like, I can't ignore
Exactly.
the information that I have. But on this song, I sure can.
Yeah, this one for sure.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. And again, like Taylor's lament, again, just to tie it all together, that I think looking through people's windows is one of the ways she goes to secret gardens in her mind. I think that's part of her maladaptive daydreaming about, well, just thinking about this person from my past because, like, I don't want to deal with my present situation. So I see those songs as, like, not exactly sister songs, but I just feel like they complement each other.
You're right. Yeah, I do see. I get the similar vibe and like very much, yeah, just imaginative, disappearing, escaping, all that in both those songs. I agree.
Yeah, so let's talk about the prophecy. What do you think about the prophecy?
Not one that I'm putting on a lot, but it's still like it's not like one that I'm like ew, don't like bored about. I'm pretty sure like what it's like about kind of like feels like more about her trying to change her fame trajectory, kind of maybe. I haven't, yeah, dissected much of the lyrics, but I like the song a little bit. Yeah, nothing too
Yeah.
much.
So I will say this is I think another cyclical song. The outro is the same as the first verse. Well, where she says, "Hand on the throttle, thought I caught lightning in a bottle. Oh, but it's gone again." So this is something she goes through many times in her life. And I do think this is a more complex looking at her relationship. I think this song is like almost a follow-up to Peace. In a way, I think it's sort of, and it kind of, I think this song pairs up nicely with the Albatross, just sort of like this prophecy of like, what if I could never give you peace? Like, Taylor has this problem in the music piece, and like what's going on in that song is Taylor has this problem in a relationship where her fame is larger than life and she cannot get rid of it. And I think like it's sort of almost a prophecy of like, would it be enough if I could never give you peace? Like, I can't ever give you peace. She's not saying like, I'll do my best to change and give you peace. I'll walk away from my career and give you peace. Like, it's like, no, this is already laid out for me. And I think when she says, and it was written, I got cursed like Eve got bitten. Oh, was it punishment? Like, I think hand on the throttle and thought I caught lightning in the bottle is like a relationship. She's like full throttle in it. And I don't even think this has to necessarily tie back to anyone specifically. I can see her like going through the cycle of Joe and then Maddie, and the kind of same things happening where like her presence is, you know, I mean, Joe had his like mental issues and stuff, but I think a big problem in their relationship was her fame. Obviously, he didn't like it. And then Maddie, like, I think Maddie's fine with being famous and being seen and stuff, but he didn't like the pressure that came from Swifties being associated with her. So, I can see it like that sort of cycle is something she's commenting on. But I also just think this is about Taylor sort of recognizing she will never give herself peace. Like, she is sort of stuck like this. And I think she's wondering. It's interesting that she brings up Eve because, of course, Eve is sort of like Eve made a choice to eat the apple and gained all this amazing knowledge from it, but of course, gave up paradise.
She's in her conservative Christian era dating Travis now, right? All the Bible and like the T necklaces, the crosses
Well,
that I've
what's
seen people
interesting
tweet
on this
about.
album is that she sort of perverts religion a lot for her uses in the songs. And I think the religious imagery, I cannot blame the Gaylors for being pretty amped up at how gay some of this album is because of all that religious imagery. And again, like the album would be a lot gayer if I didn't know like the facts of her love life, which I don't know every fact, but I do know some. Eve sort of traded away paradise for the gift of knowledge. And I think Taylor sort of tr thinks she compares herself to Eve. I think she's saying sort of, I traded away this normal life, you know, Midnight Rain vibes, you know, postcards and Christmas. Like, I traded that away for this amazing gift of fame and power.
I definitely think this ties in as one of those other the three the pillars we've talked about. Like there's Joe, Maddie, and then fame and everyone's reactions and her, how she feels with fame, how she grapples with it.
Yeah. The chorus goes, please, I've been on my knees, changed the prophecy. Don't want money. Just someone who wants my company. Now, here's what I will say. People who think this is about Taylor wanting like conversion therapy and wishing she weren't queer and like wishing she didn't have to go through this and she could just be gay and like she could just be out and stuff. It's kind of debunked on that line. Because the thing is like the thing Taylor will pay for if she comes out is money. She will lose some money. There's markets in Asia that are more conservative. There are conservative people in America. She will have to give up money. So when she says, don't want money, just someone who wants my company, like this idea that like being an out queer person could solve this problem, to me, it doesn't fix it. Because if this song were true, she's saying, well, I would walk away from some money to be like free and to be able to be like queer and out. But she hasn't come out yet. And the only thing she stands to lose pretty much is money. I mean, there might be a little privacy invasion, but like she already deals with that. I don't know. So to me, Taylor could come out and walk away from that money and get someone who wants her company if she is this tortured lesbian, as a lot of people seem to think she is. To me, that doesn't make sense because she's just saying, like, I don't want money. But one thing Taylor can never do, she can never come out as not famous. She will be famous forever. Even if she retires today, she will be one of the most famous stars to go down in history. And she will never be able, she can't put that cork back in the bottle. She can't go back to like 14 and say, actually, I don't want to do this because it's going to like harm my, like, you know, life and make it impossible to find a partner. I won't be able to give them peace. She could let, like, uncork the homosexuality. You know
She
what I
could,
mean?
yeah.
But she
You're right,
can't
yeah.
uncork the not famous. Like, that's not something that can happen. She will always be famous. And I think that's sort of the prophecy. It's that, you know, when she sat down and started this career, I don't think she really knew what was going to happen to her in terms of her love life.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. Like the song is genderless. Like it she wants just that companionship, and if it means losing money, she'll do it. So I think if there was a woman in her life that she would be wanting to come out with, I could see her, just doing it.
I do think at this point, she's as rich as a human can almost possibly be.
Yeah.
And like a lot of Gaylors have seen this album as the misery of like not coming out. And I can see what they're saying in a lot of
Yeah.
cases. Songs like The Prophecy, songs like I Hate It Here, like a lot of that, you know, things like Guilty as Sin. And we've talked about different angles of all these songs, and we'll get more into it on the Patreon for the Gaylor takes. I can see a lot of that making sense, except it doesn't make sense if she is this upset about it. Yes, she would have to walk away from some money and some adulation to come out. But if the whole premise of the album is I'm nearly suicidal over the fact that I'm closeted, surely she would just come out.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Is that
Yeah.
insensitive? Like, and to me, it makes sense that she doesn't come out because, like, I think she's bisexual and with a right now with like a primary interest in men. And it's just easier to, like, you know, date the men that she's really dating. And she, you know, she said, like, she can live like a happy life with a man and not have to say one way or the other. But if she's like, again, almost on death's door because she's so upset that she's not out, why wouldn't, like, I can see her wanting her privacy if she's like, well, I'm sharing at least a decent part of my life. Like, I am really with these men and I write songs about it and that's all well and good. And like, I get to go out with Travis and hold hands and have a good time. And like, yeah, maybe it's not every inch of my truth, but it's enough. But the people who think she's this closeted lesbian who's so fucking miserable and hates bearding and hates it all and hates Travis, so that's the way they write it, that she hates him. She's embarrassed of him.
Yeah.
You know, then it's like, well, surely at some point it would just be worth it to come out.
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% it. Like there's too many. She's at a point in her career where she's like she could do anything, and if she really wants that happiness, she can just go for it if she has the right person. And that's the big thing, is that she's saying in the song is that she hasn't found the right person regardless of who they
Right.
are.
And she said, but she says, don't want money. So then
Exactly.
coming out shouldn't be an issue. Yeah, she hasn't, because I just don't think that's the issue, right? I
Yeah.
think she's, you know, she struggles in other ways. And I'm sure it is somewhat a struggle to hide that part of herself, somewhat. But I don't think it's this all-encompassing, like, lesbian identity that defines her whole existence, like some people write her. And I think,
Yeah.
you know, I'm sure like being closeted and however she wants to label bisexual, pansexual, fluid, whatever, is hard. I mean, I know it is hard to be closeted, but if she says I'm willing to part with money to solve this problem, then the problem is not that she's closeted.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she can't give away $1 billion and then just not be famous anymore. The fame is never
Exactly.
going away.
Never going away. She'll always be Taylor
Right.
Swift. And yeah, I think even she just like touches, maybe like potentially touches on like, regard like we said, regardless, like genderless like person. Like she even says like cards on the table, mind play out like fools in a fable. I can see people connecting that to like the poker face, ace, new romantics, like queer vibes from that. But then also, you know, poison blood from the wound of the prick hand. Oh, still I dream of him. Like I don't, we always joke about her throwing in those pronouns, but I wonder if maybe she is just kind of, you know, commenting on the fact that it doesn't matter who they are. She would love it if she could just have that companionship.
Yeah, I mean, still, I dream of him. I don't think the him is anyone too specific. I think it's just a partner, and for whatever reason,
Exactly.
you know, she went with him. Like, you know, I get the queer vibes in this song, but I also just get the vibes of this song. And I think queerness has less to do with it than some people are saying.
Yeah.
But I think The Prophecy is not, you know, change the prophecy, people think that means make me straight. And I just don't think that's it. I think there is an element of loneliness that comes from being like closeted and bisexual or however, but I don't think that's the main problem. The main problem, I think, is her fame.
Yeah.
And I think this is basically her just saying this cycle happens to me again and again. And it, you know, a prophecy, it's almost like I see like signed contracts. I see her signing that artist development deal
Yeah.
with RCA Records or whoever it was. And I sort of see like a contract, like it's, you know, it's been written now that she is going to be this fabulous, famous person, but the trade-off for that is not having happy, healthy relationships.
Yeah.
And again, I see it as more commentary similar to peace, which is like maybe, we can't have that normal relationship. Maybe it's going to be a problem. Like, is it, would it never be enough? Would it be enough if I never gave you peace? And then to me, this song is like, nope, it wouldn't be enough because he left me, And it's like Joe, maybe a little Joe specific, but I also just think it's a vibe. Like, it's a
No, I definitely
cycle.
see like I see some of the joke like connections with like even statues crumble if they're made to wait is very, you know, my castle crumbled overnight. Like, yeah, I can see the joke connections there.
Yeah, let's talk about the bridge you just brought up. And I sound like an infant feeling like the very last drops of an ink pen. A greater woman stays cool, but I howl like a wolf at the moon, and I look unstable, gathered with a coven round a sorceress table. I get Willow vibes. Like, and I almost think, this we're getting maybe a little commentary on Joe. A greater woman has faith, but even statues crumble if they're made to wait. Like you said, I kind of agree that there's a Joe flavor in the air. I sniff his pert little butt, there's just like a little, his pert little butt is like flashes before my eyes a little bit, maybe not
It's running
entirely.
into a building as like the paparazzi just barely gets it.
Just a flash of pert little butt. Because I look unstable, gathered with a coven round a sorceress table. I see that as like, I use my best colors for your portrait, almost like I look insane, like I'm writing all these love songs about you, and like I'm doing Willow dances, like I'm trying to like invoke witches to make it worth, to make it work. But like a greater woman has faith, but even statues crumble if they're made to wait. Well, he did make her wait.
Yeah, and she
He
tried to
did.
keep her faith, and I think maybe that might be this that might be commentary on a lot of the religious themes in this album, which unfortunately we want to say is gay, might just be her relating religion to Joe in some way, which it just like maybe, but yeah.
Women, like when you see queer people talking about religion, it's because religion has fucked so many of us up that we have to unpack it. And it shows up in our art, and it shows up in our, railings against the world. We're bringing religion into it because religion was like one of our earliest oppressors and one of our biggest, earliest problems. Like, I went home for Mother's Day this past weekend, and I was talking to my dad about like all this fucked up like dreams and scary stuff I went through because they had taken me to church, and my parents are atheists, but they just did it because they're like, oh, well, it's like good to network and like it gives the kids something to do, like whatever. And it would like terrorize me because I knew I was a little different, and I knew something wasn't quite adding up, and it scared me. And I was very scared of hell and dying for a long time. But so we all sort of reckon with that a lot. And if any of us are making art, religion is showing up for a lot of us. But and I don't think Taylor's straight, so I think she has those issues. But let's say from a straight perspective for a second, let's be James and Betty. Let's give it a straight perspective. Even if Taylor were straight, religion fucks up everybody. And particularly women in the South were sort of, conditioned to think you're only good for like, I mean, look at the fucking kicker
I was
from the
literally
Chiefs, like
about to mention the kicker, literally, current
literally.
events right now.
Yeah, Harrison Butker, for anyone who blissfully missed it, gave this really misogynistic speech where he was homophobic, he was anti-Semitic, he said all sorts of nasty stuff, but he also said that women basically belong barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen.
He made the students graduating who like he was like, well, ladies, you got your degree, it's amazing, but you're gonna love motherhood even more, which is insane.
Yeah, he basically said, your greatest purpose in life is to be a wife and mother.
Yeah, not to get a career. Like his wife's career didn't pan out. Like she loves being a mother. It's just
And he said, my wife's life did not start until she became a wife and mother to my children. So
Religion fucks everyone.
religion fucks everyone, and I can see Taylor grappling with religion a lot on this album because she has been unfaithful. And I think she probably saw her and Joe as a very like traditional, not that she really cares, but like Christian approved connection of like, well, we're two adults and we're committed to each other. And then she stepped out on that and let it fall, kind of let it fall apart, and Joe let it fall apart, and they fell apart on each other and they lost faith in each other. And I can just see her having religious consternation to work through, regardless of sexuality. You know what I mean?
Totally, yeah.
So I know the religion stuff comes off as very gay, and I think there's a few aspects where it probably is, but I also just think this is a woman railing against a misogynistic system that has been telling her the only good thing in life is for her to find a man and be his wifey and be faithful to him. And she's been no, like that's not what she's been doing. In fact, she found a good man, but there were issues and she ended up being unfaithful to him. And then she, went with this little hellion that is Maddie Healy. And I think she just has like fallout. She's railing against purity culture as opposed to like homophobic culture, Gathered with a coven round a sorceress table, a greater woman has faith, but even statues crumble if they're made to wait. I'm so afraid I sealed my fate. No sign of soulmates. I'm just a paperweight in shades of greige. I hate that she said greige. I
I
hate
know.
that. Is that horrible? Like, I hate it.
It's
I
so
hate it
boring.
so
Yeah.
much.
Just say one or the
Just say
other.
gray or beige.
Yeah.
It's annoying me. Anyway, spending my last coin so someone will tell me it'll be okay. So there's a lot of imagery. When she says cards on the table, I think, cards on the table is very much like, card sharks, I thought you were leading me on. Like cards, I think she kind of says, put your cards on the table, which is like a saying from like poker where it's like, show me what you have to see if you
Yeah.
won or not. Kind of just like, be open up with me.
Yeah, no more hand,
Cards
no
on the
more cards
table.
up sleeves and stuff. Like it's all
Right.
laid out.
Right.
Yeah.
Lay it out. But I also saw somebody say, and I kind of like that's like, what if it's tarot cards?
I
You
thought that too
know?
at first as well, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like that. And
I do like
then
that.
also, these this the the signs of witches and stuff, the sorceress table, gathering with a coven around a sorceress table. I feel like that's like her and her friends, and her friends are hyping her up like, no, he will marry you. No, he is gonna commit, or she is gonna commit, they are gonna commit. Like, no, it'll work out, it'll work out. And then
Yeah.
it doesn't.
And
And
then the spending my last coins, if someone will tell me, is again another, she doesn't
yeah.
care about the money. It's just another line of just, yeah, it'll be okay. She just wants that one person.
And I see is that like I the visual I sort of get is like, oh, going to a fortune teller, like paying her a golden coin, and she looks over her crystal ball to like see into the future. But then I also see it's like therapy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I could totally see that too.
But also just saying like, yeah, I get rid of the money if it could be okay is kind of the energy there. And yeah, we go back to the course. I've been on my knees, changed the prophecy. Don't want money, just want someone who wants my company. Let it once be me. Who do I have to speak to about if they can redo the prophecy? Who do I have to speak to change the prophecy? And I just think it's like the prophecy. And I'm interested, like, did Elizabeth Taylor or some famous woman, Stevie Nicks, did somebody ever say like, oh yeah, well, that's the prophecy, right? Famous women can't have love. Like, is there like a more literal, like, instance that she's referencing, or is this something she's sort of come up with on her own about just sort of seeing her own life play out? Like, I would love to know. Like, I haven't found anything. I did try and research these songs as best I could, but I did not find anything about a literal prophecy she might be referencing.
Yeah, I have no idea either. So definitely, if anyone knows out
Yeah,
there,
we'd love to
yeah.
hear. Okay, so the last song of Taylor's Lament is Cassandra.
Cassandra.
What do you think about Cassandra?
Not too much. I definitely do not play it as off like that much at all. I was thinking like I don't dislike any of the songs of this album, but like this is just one I don't listen to. It definitely, I'm pretty sure most people have related it to Mad Woman, which is another song I just don't listen to a lot. But I do agree, I see the similarities there. It's giving Evermore. But yeah, I just yeah, I like it 'cause but I don't listen to it.
I could kind of do without Cassandra, but I think it has some important lyrics if we want to understand Taylor's psyche. So this uses an interpolation of Mad Woman, and because I think she's mad, and I think this to me is pretty obviously about using the Greek myth of Cassandra, who she was granted the gift of like prophecy, speaking of like she could see, kind of into the future, could know what was coming from Apollo. But then he like, asked her, well, do you want to date me now? And she was like, no. And so he cursed her. And so she has the gift of foresight, but nobody will ever believe her. So in Greek mythology, she allegedly warned about like everything to do with the Trojan War. She warned them about like the Trojan horse, the famous, they put the soldiers in the horse,
Yeah.
and the Greeks did, and or the Athenians, whichever. But Yeah, basically, she was a cursed woman who was telling the truth, but nobody would ever believe her. So Taylor takes that on to, I think, explore a little bit more of what happened with Snakegate. And you know what's funny is me and Kara used to rail and rail and be like, why does she keep talking about 2016? Like, find a new thing to write songs about. Like, oh my God, like, how could you write this many songs about it? And then she did it so much, I was like, wait a minute, I think I love it. Like, I think I want more songs about 2016. Like, I just flipped on
Right.
it. But she, this has one of the most interesting lyrics. I don't know that we have to hit every lyric. I do think it's simply about Snakegate, but I was in my tower weaving nightmares, twisting all my smiles into snarls. They say what doesn't kill makes you aware. What happens if it becomes who you are? I think that is kind of her response to sort of the people who are saying, like, why do you keep writing about 2016? It became who she was. And I think in two different ways. The first way it became who she was is that people believed the lies that Kim and Kanye were telling about her. Like, oh, she's a snake. And it, she became like, it kind of, she ended up like, it made people think that's who she was. So it became who she was. But then also, it became so much of her identity, like her personal to herself, that like, I'm this wronged person. And I think this is almost like a cry for help. Like, she doesn't 100% even know how to get past it because it's become such a huge part of who she is.
Yeah, I love that. That's I see that as well.
Yeah. Of course, the big line is the line about snakes, where they say, this is from the chorus. So they killed Cassandra first because she feared the worst and tried to tell the town. So they filled my cell with snakes. I regret to say, do you believe me now? And of course, snakes. That's all of Kim's fucking tweeting at her, calling her a snake, everybody calling her a snake, everybody commenting on every social media. She had tons of snakes. They very literally filled her cell with snakes. And I think it's interesting she uses a metaphor here for social media, because I think that's the kind of the same thing with I look through people's windows. She,
Boom, boom, I agree.
right, she refers to the snail cell as like, oh, that's my social media. Like, it's a social media thing here. And then I think windows is like another way she looks at it.
And a double, maybe just like, that time frame, her relationship with Joe. I mean, she always relates to that stuff as a prison sentence, as a cell. So maybe quite literally her cell with him, before, while it was all happening.
Yeah, maybe that's even when the prison started. Like, she said he could be my jailer because that was the only safe place away from the snake gate. They filled my cell with
Exactly.
snakes. Yeah, I love that connection. Good point. The bridge, of course, has some pretty Barbie, barbs, some petty moments in it. They knew the whole time that I was onto something. The family, the pure greed, the Christian chorus line, they all said nothing. Blood's thick, but nothing like a payroll. Bet they never spared a prayer for my soul. You can mark my words that I said it first in a morning warning. No one heard. And of course, to me, this comes back to the Kardashians. They have that fake church that they do all their money laundering through. The family, the pure greed, blood's thick, but nothing like a payroll. Like, I just think that the Kardashians, they put money over everything. And Taylor's sort of commenting on that.
Yeah, that's so true. I agree. Because obviously the blood's thick is referencing the, thicker than water or whatever, friendships, family. But then, yeah, nothing like a payroll. I mean, that family is the epitome of money and every and oh, not screwing each other over, but obviously exploiting each other's issues, relationship problems, scandals for money. So yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Verse 3 goes on to say, I patched up the crack along the wall. I pass it and lose track of what I'm saying because that was where I, because that's where I was when I lost it all. And I just think this is her saying, like, revisiting that time in her life, is hard. And again, I think that's her answer to me and Kara. Like, this is why it is just such a big fucking deal to her. I think it traumatized her in a way that few humans have been traumatized simply because few humans have ever been as famous as her. And of course, that's not to make light of other people's very real suffering, but just this is a unique suffering to Taylor. And I think she's still fucked up from it. And I think this song sort of proves it.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, this and a bunch of other songs, right? I mean, it just seems she'll never, not never. Well, we'll see if she gets over it. I don't know.
Time heals all wounds. I strongly believe that. But
Seriously,
blood's
yeah.
thick, but nothing like apparel. What a hell of a fucking
It's so
line.
good. I love it.
Right? So, fuck the Kardashians. I blocked them all
Preach.
as part of the block party.
Big preach, big
The
preach.
block out 2024, which should have been called block party
Yeah, no, I
2024.
agree. That's a better name.
And yeah, I think that's all I've got to say about this song. Jeffy, what about you?
Yeah, that's basically it for me as well. I love the takes that we've been saying today. It's definitely helped open my eyes about a lot of these songs.
Yeah, I actually feel like I have blander takes on these songs than some of the other songs because they're a little more straightforward, although that's what
Yeah.
Front Take is straight fire.
I love it. No,
I'm
it's
not
so
taking that back.
good.
Like, it's so good. I think that's all I have as well. And quick reminder, guys, if you guys want to join in with our adopted family from Palestine,
Yes,
Ahmed's
please.
family still needs our help. We are working on raising money. Even if we can just get a little more in, I will start. I don't know about the community's capacity to like get all the way to the goal because it's a high goal, but like if we can keep the donations rolling in, I will definitely have some like rewards for all facets of the community. So hang in there with us. Please donate if you haven't yet. It is linked at the top of my link tree. It'll be linked in these show notes. It is linked at the top of my Tumblr blog. It'll probably be in my Instagram stories. You know where to find it, but
Definitely, yeah.
always feels good to help people in need, and that's what that's all
For
about.
sure, yeah.
So, Patreon, we're gonna have a couple things this week. We're definitely gonna be covering more Gaylor analysis, and that should be live now. So go check that out if you want to, what I will say on Patreon. And I think that's where we're gonna leave it. With all that said,
Yay.
stay safe in 2024. Donate to help Ahmed's family in 2024 and Gaslight Geeky Girl Boss immediately.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.